You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That was Cooper Boardman on the final call of yesterday's Red Sox game. A gem of an outing from Garrett Crochet. I'm John Lyons. I'll be with you until 12:30 today, where we have coverage of the Red Sox final game before the All-Star break. Joe Weil will have you on pregame for that. Red Sox Rays today, first pitch, 1:35. And I'm excited for this show this morning because I'm usually not on Sunday mornings. I'm kind of filling in for Dan Ball here, who does a great job on Sunday mornings. But there's a lot to get to because we have Crochet, as you heard, with his first career complete game yesterday, who, as of right now, to me, Crochet is your AL Cy Young winner, or at least front runner right now. Now we got another half of the season to go, but he's your front runner. Red Sox, all of a sudden, are winning close games. Three consecutive one-run victories. They're still 12-19 in one-run games, but suddenly good at it. They've won 9 in a row. They're the hottest team in the MLB. And oh, by the way, we're just over a week away from Patriots training camp. So I got a lot to get to this morning. Nat Gordo of the Play Tessie podcast is going to join me in studio at 11 a.m., we're going to talk a bunch of Red Sox there. Also going to be joined by the aforementioned Joe Weil from Fenway Park before he starts pregame. I'm looking forward to that. And this is a Red Sox team that not only are they playing good baseball now, not only are they hot, the hottest team in the MLB, they're beating up on a Rays team. And when I say beating up, I know they've been close games, but they've won three consecutive against a Rays team that Red Sox came into this series behind them in the standings. And I would argue that yesterday's start by Garrett Crochet was his most important start of the entire season. And as we saw, it was his best start of the entire season. 9 innings, complete game, only 3 hits allowed, 9 strikeouts, a shutout, 19 first pitch strikes in this game. He was absolutely dominant. I mean, it really felt, I know the Rays had that attempted squeeze play that ended up great play by Toro to get it to Narvaez. That was the only time that really I felt like, okay, the Rays might score here. That was it in 9 innings. And again, remember, this is a Rays team that came into this series ahead of the Red Sox in the standings. And don't look now. And I know we got another half of the season to go. But don't look now. The Red Sox are a full game up in that second wild card position at 52-45. They're right there in the division race now. So at the All-Star break, we're having a much different conversation than I thought we were going to have a week ago. I mean, they're 4 games out of the division. They're securely in a wild card spot by a full game heading into today's game. And you look at how they've got to this point. So they win 6 in a row against the Nationals and the Rockies. And obviously, look, those are good wins. I'm not going to say they weren't good wins. They're good wins. But the Nationals are a rebuilding team. The Rockies are a borderline AAA team. So you did what you were supposed to do, which, by the way, let's not forget, the Red Sox did have some issues earlier this season beating bad teams. So they get past that, right? They beat the bad teams on their schedule that they should beat. But I think these three wins against the Rays, much more impressive to me than the six wins against the Nationals and the Rockies. Because it's a Rays team. It's a good team. I'm not a huge believer in the Rays, but it's a good team. It was ahead of you in the standings. And as I mentioned before, three consecutive close games, three consecutive one-run victories. Something the Red Sox struggled mightily at all year. They're 12-19 in one-run games, so still not good. But again, three in a row. And you just go back to yesterday. As I said, I think it was Crochet's most important start of the year. I mean, prior to this, that June 18th start in Seattle, which let's not forget, it was a few days after the Red Sox had traded Rafael Devers. I thought that was a really important start. He went six innings in that game. The Red Sox won 3-1. I thought that was important. I thought his start against Cincinnati, which I know he didn't pitch that well, and it was a blowout 13-6 win. I thought that was an important start just because the Red Sox were still kind of finding their way back after that Devers trade. Remember, they had lost six in a row. They'd get swept by the Angels out west. So I thought that was an important one. Obviously, he had two starts against the Yankees, that Friday night one in June where they won in 10 innings. That was important. So those were important starts. But I thought yesterday was the most important start of the season for Crochet, and he showed why he's the Cy Young frontrunner. I mean, after yesterday's action, Crochet is 10-4. He's got a 2.23 ERA, third in the major leagues in ERA, first in the major leagues in innings pitched, and I'm going to get to later on how I think they're going to have to manage him the second half of the year, because don't forget, he only threw 146 innings all of last year. But 129 and a third innings pitched, most in the major leagues, 12 quality starts, which is 10th, 160 strikeouts, which is first in the major leagues. Remember last year at the White Sox, the abysmal White Sox, Crochet was first in strikeout rate. Again, not as many total strikeouts, not as many total innings, but you know the metrics, the rates were there. So first in strikeouts, only 34 walks, fourth in wins above replacement. So you just, I mean, really, you look at that. Third in ERA, first in innings, first in strikeouts, fourth in WAR. That's a Cy Young frontrunner right there. And no offense to Tarik Skubal, who's going to start the All-Star game. He's been tremendous, won the Cy Young last year. He's right up there with him. I think Crochet's even maybe been a little bit better. And they're all hanging around in that same area in the metrics. But just an amazing start from Garrett Crochet yesterday in, again, as I said, his most important start of the year. If you want to talk about the Red Sox game yesterday, where the Red Sox are at, number here is 617-779-7937. That is the phone line and the text line. I'm also going to get to Patriots, as I said, later in the show. And so Crochet, again, most important start of the year, he throws a gem. Another thing I think is important to highlight is Roman Anthony, because we've talked a lot about Sedan Rafaela, who I think should, you know, has a real case to be an all-star. Hitting over 400 in July, hit 283 in June. Feels like he's just finding a way to get on base every single day. And Carlos Narvaez, to me, should be an all-star, right? A better defensive player than Alejandro Kirk, higher OPS, averages a little bit lower. But, I mean, his offensive numbers are in the neighborhood of Alejandro Kirk, and he's a much better defensive player. So I think he should have made the all-star team. The guy we haven't really mentioned enough is Roman Anthony and how he's progressed. Because if you remember, when he came up, that very first game against the Rays, he looked a little unsure of himself at the plate. And remember, that was a last-minute thing. It was like all of a sudden it felt like at 3 p.m., he was, or 4, whatever time it was, like 3 or 4 p.m., he gets promoted. Boom, he's playing at 7 o'clock that night. Made the error in right field. And it feels like he's gotten progressively more comfortable as the weeks have gone by. In the month of July, he's hitting 350. And he's hitting the ball hard. And you go back to the last two games, right? The Red Sox win a close game on Friday night. The Rafaela walk-off, I think, was the best moment at Fenway Park since Game 3 of the 2021 ALCS. Think back to that. I was in the crowd for that one. Little subtle brag. But you think back to that one. That's when Kyle Schwarber hit the grand slam. Red Sox took a 2-1 series lead on the Astros in that ALCS. That Rafaela walk-off home run was the best moment at Fenway Park since Game 3 of the 2021 ALCS. So I bring up Anthony, though, because right before that, he comes off the bench as a pinch hitter and draws a walk. And so on that walk-off home run, ultimately Anthony is the tying run. Rafael is the winning run. But if he doesn't draw that walk coming off the bench again, maybe we're having a different conversation, right? I mean, the Red Sox would still be in a good spot, but maybe the Rays go on and win that game. So I think for Anthony, as a young player, 6 weeks or so in the MLB, to have the patience to come off the bench and draw that walk, I was really impressed by that. I think it flew under the radar a little bit. And credit to Lou Maloney and Dave O'Brien. They talked about that yesterday on the TV broadcast. I think that was a big moment. And then you go to yesterday, the Red Sox win a 1-0 game. Now, Narvaez has the RBI single, but who was on second base? Roman Anthony had the double to set that up. So we've seen in back-to-back days, the Red Sox have won close games, and Roman Anthony has been a big part in helping set that up. And don't forget Marcelo Myers' double Friday night to help get that deficit closer. But again, I think it's nice to see some of these young players finally start to take steps forward, because I think we knew coming into the year Garrett Crochet was going to be an ace-level pitcher. Now, I think the questions about Crochet, and I'll get to this more later, does he hold up all year long? But I think we knew that. We knew Chapman was going to be a good closer. We knew Bregman, when healthy, was going to be good. And oh, by the way, Bregman back in the lineup today after having yesterday off. And Bregman Friday night, I thought that fifth inning, really, I know he grounded out to third. It was a good at-bat, worked the count to 3-2, showed good patience and vision, hit the ball hard just right at the third baseman, and then he had the double after that, right? So we knew those three guys were going to be good. And then we had a lot of questions about how are the kids going to look, and we've seen Christian Campbell. He was up and down. It was good early in the season, really tailed off, had to get sent down. Anthony and Meyer come up. Rafael is here. Remember, Rafael signed that extension last year. Bayo, too, we had some questions about. And you look at over the last 6 weeks, Bayo has been their second-best pitcher over the last 6 weeks. I mean, it's not that long ago in May when he was struggling to finish five innings. Now, again, he's been your second-best pitcher in the last 6 weeks behind Crochet in the rotation. And you look at Anthony, as I said, good patience at the plate, hitting 350 in the month of July. Rafaela should be an all-star. Abreu, 18 home runs. You can make the case Abreu is your best power hitter right now with Rafael Devers gone. Willie Abreu, second-year guy, won a gold glove last year, is your best power hitter. So that's been nice to see.
I was saying Rafaela should have been an all-star before he went on this hot streak in July because of how amazing he's been in the outfield. He even got so frustrated with himself after he missed that ball that was hit all the way out to center field a few games back. He was like slamming his glove on the wall, and that was the same game that he hit the walk-off. So he just seems to love the game so much and always wants to improve. So, but I also want to say being an all-star doesn't really matter that much anymore considering, you know, who's made it in. It seems like the MLB people are just looking at batting averages instead of actual stats.
So that voice you just heard is our producer, Jacob Lastner, does a great job for us. And I'm going to get to the All-Star game itself a little later, Jacob, because I actually love the MLB All-Star game. But I do think there's some merit to what you just said. But your point on Rafaela is an interesting one, because I think if later today or tomorrow someone had to withdraw from the AL All-Star team, like, to me, Rafaela is the top replacement. But you can go back to June when he was hitting 283, and this is the guy that's been the best defensive center fielder in the major leagues. He's second overall in defensive runs saved. So, I mean, I think this is a guy that even prior to the tear he's been on in the month of July was an all-star caliber player. And I know in May he hit, I think, 241 in May. So that's obviously a little bit lower. You want better than, but 241 is the best defensive center fielder. You can work with that. And then he brings it up again to 283 in June as, again, the best defensive center fielder. So the Red Sox have three All-Stars in Chapman, Crochet, and Bregman. You could make the case they could have five. I mean, I think, again, as I said before, Narvaez, I'm going to get to this more later. Narvaez should have been an All-Star, and I think Rafaela should be right now. I mean, I know, look, a lot of deserving guys. I get it. But that's how good those two guys have been. And the Red Sox, right, again, awesome win yesterday. They've been playing great lately. As I said, these three wins against Tampa Bay, three wins by one run against a team that was ahead of you in the standings before you came into this series, I think is not only the most impressive three-game stretch of the year for me, but I give it more weight than the six wins against the Nationals in the Rockies. But coming up, right, and this is going to be, to me, the most pivotal stretch of the Red Sox season. I see some of you on the phones and on the text line who actually brought this up, and I'm going to get to you right after this break. The Red Sox stretch after the All-Star break is going to be the most pivotal 3 weeks of their entire season. We're going to get to that and more coming up, but first it's time to trend with our producer, Jacob Laster.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking about Garrett Crochet yesterday. He also spoke about, and Jacob played this in trending, the environment at Fenway and how it's been, which has been great to see. Red Sox finally playing well at home, have a winning record at home after having a losing record at home the last couple of seasons. So that's been great to see as well. Again, Garrett Crochet, I said it before, I'll say it again. He's your Cy Young frontrunner right now. Third in ERA, first in innings pitched, first in strikeouts, fourth in WAR. And again, Tarik Skubal right there with him. But I'm taking Crochet. And
he had
yesterday,
a bad start last outing too.
And Skubal though, starting the All-Star game, like, and Cy Young last year. I think, Jacob, that's going to be a really cool battle to watch down the stretch, because how the Red Sox manage Crochet, a guy who has thrown 129 innings, he's already thrown 129 and a third innings this year. Last year, threw 146 total. So how do the Red Sox manage him down the stretch to keep him fresh? And I do have a little bit more faith in him than their previous ace, Chris Sale, of staying fresh. I think his body type is built for that more, but he hasn't done it. So how do they manage that, and how does that then line up with Tarik Skubal and that race for AL Cy Young? I think that is going to be a really cool thing to watch down the stretch. Crochet with his most important game of the season yesterday, a chance to win the series against Tampa Bay. Obviously, today you'd love to get the four-game sweep. But yesterday, with that win, you win the series against Tampa Bay. The Red Sox Friday, because of the Hunter Dobbins injury, and thoughts with Hunter Dobbins, that was tough to see. And that first baseline and first base bag at Fenway, man, it got Casas, it got Bregman, now it gets Dobbins. I don't know. Got to do something about that.
I think
bag.
The first base is, or the bases are just like too hard, I guess.
Well, and I wonder, and I have no evidence to back this up, I'll say that right now. But you remember a couple of years ago, Jacob, when they put in the pitch clock and all those rules? One of the things they did was make the bases a little bit bigger. And I don't know if because of that, they're manufacturing them a little bit differently. I have no idea. Or maybe it's just a freak coincidence. But all three of those guys have an issue down the first baseline. So again, thoughts with Hunter Dobbins. That was tough to see. And I bring that up because the Red Sox used seven pitchers on Friday. So the walk-off was amazing. They had to use seven pitchers, though, so you needed a long start out of Crochet. And going into the game, I was hoping, could they get seven innings out of Crochet? And then he's in the fifth inning with only 45 pitches. And I'm like, all right, maybe they'll definitely get seven, maybe eight. He ends up going nine, first career complete game. And he now gets a week off. Red Sox are going to start him on Sunday against the Cubs. Yes. That's Crochet. Filthy stuff. Red Sox are going to start him on Sunday against the Cubs, which I would also, if they stick to the regular rest that after that, it would line him up, I believe, for Saturday against the Dodgers, 26th. I'm not selfish about that at all. Not like I have tickets to that game or anything. But it would line him up again, Sunday against the Cubs, Saturday against the Dodgers. So we'll see. And after the All-Star break, I bring that up because it's going to be a pivotal few weeks for the Red Sox. And we're going to start. Let's go to David in Florida because he wants to talk about this. David in Florida, welcome in. You want to talk about the Red Sox after the All-Star break?
Yeah, how you doing? Let me get you off speaker. There we go. How you doing? Thanks for getting me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. What do you got?
I got to give a shout-out to my nephews first, Noah and Benny. But anyways, yes, after the All-Star break, they open up against Chicago, Philly, Dodgers, and they're going to come back down to earth. I mean, they're not going to continue to win 10 straight, obviously. And it'll be interesting to see if the time off how the time off affects them. Because if you remember last year, after the All-Star break, that's when they really started to fall apart. So I hope that they can keep the momentum going after the All-Star break. And if they make any trades, then that'll augment their roster a little bit. But most importantly, the time off is going to really affect them. It's just going to be one way or the other. And hopefully they'll be able to keep it up. But they're playing some really good teams. Because if Dodgers are in first place, right, the Phillies are in first place, and the Cubs are in first place, aren't they?
Yeah, thanks for the call, David. And he's 100% right. And you go back to last year, Red Sox 10 games over .500 at the All-Star break and fell off after that. Now, I do have a little bit more faith in this year's team. Their bullpen is better. Now, last year at the All-Star break, they had the 10th most innings pitched by the bullpen. Their ERA was near the bottom of the league. They finished, I think, with the 24th bullpen ERA, and it was right around there at the All-Star break. This year, they have the 11th most innings pitched by the bullpen, so a little bit better, not much. But they're 7th in bullpen ERA, at least going into yesterday. They were 7th in bullpen ERA. Obviously, they didn't use the bullpen at all yesterday. So they've been much better in the bullpen. They have a real ace in Crochet. So I do have, and the Bregman factor. Right, a guy that's won multiple championships, knows what it takes for a team to stay focused down the stretch. I feel a little bit better about them coming out of the All-Star break as a team than I did last year. But I think to the caller's point, there are two significant questions / concerns about the Red Sox coming out of the All-Star break. And they've been playing fantastic baseball. I'm not taking anything away from that. But the two things I think if you're Red Sox fans, you got to keep your eye on. One is Crochet. Right, he's thrown 129 and a third innings this year already. Last year, 146 total. And last year was his first year as a starter. So by mid-August, he will have surpassed his inning total for all of last year, and maybe even before that. So that's something to keep an eye on. How do they manage him? They're already giving him a full week off, right? He's not going to pitch in the All-Star game, waiting until Sunday against the Cubs. So they're giving him a full week off there. But the next thing, and this is something the caller brought up directly, is this schedule the Red Sox have coming out of the All-Star break is a brutal one. And according to Tankathon, by winning percentage, they have the toughest remaining schedule in the MLB. And you just look at three games at Wrigley Field coming out of the All-Star break against a first-place Chicago Cubs team. Then they stay on the road, three games at Philly, team that's in first place, legit World Series contender. Then you have three games at home against the defending champion Dodgers, who obviously are a World Series contender and elite team. You're probably going to face Yamamoto and Ohtani in the starting rotation that series, at least one, if not both of them. Then you go on the road to the Twins. That's a team that I think is, you can beat the – but again, Twins came to Fenway, swept the Red Sox a couple months ago. But that's a team I think if you're the Red Sox, you feel good about that series.
But then right after that, you have three against Houston, another first place team. Then you play Kansas City, team you probably feel good about. And then after that, you go on the road for six games. First three games at San Diego, a team that if they were in any other division except the NL West, they'd probably be in first place. They're a wild card team. And don't forget, the San Diego Padres gave the Dodgers their toughest series of the playoffs last year in that NLDS. That's a legit great team, the San Diego Padres. That's a World Series contender, San Diego Padres.
Then you can disagree with that take, by the way. No offense.
Why? That was a five-game series. They had a 2-1 lead in that series, the Padres did.
The Mets gave them a bigger fight.
That was a five-game. The Dodgers won 4 out of 5 against the Mets. Padres had a 2-1 series lead.
I know, but the Mets put up better fights in the games.
I don't think they did. I'm not saying the Mets rolled over. I think that Padres series was a tougher one. Dodgers are on the brink of elimination in that series. Never faced that against anyone else. And then they go on the road again at Houston after that Padres series. So we're talking about from July 18th when the All-Star break ends to August 13th when they play Houston for the final time in that stretch. You've got 18 games against teams that are either in first place or could be in first place, right? Three against Chicago, three against Philly, three against the Dodgers, three against Houston, right? That's 12. You get a little break against Kansas City, but then three against the Padres, and then three more against Houston. So that's 18 games against teams that are either in first place, or in the case of the Padres, are a World Series contender, currently in a wild card position. So this stretch coming up is going to tell us everything we need to know about the Red Sox. And then after that, they play the Marlins, they play the Orioles a few times. They do have a 4-game series in Yankee Stadium, so if you want to include that too, play the Pirates, the Guardians, right? That gets a little bit easier after that. Not a ton easier, though, because like I said, you still have that 4-game series against the Yankees in late August. You have another series against the Yankees in mid-September. You see Toronto in late September, Detroit to round out the year. Another first-place team, by the way. But really, this next month is going to tell us all we need to know. And that's why, as well, these three games against Tampa Bay have been encouraging to me. Because if they beat the Nationals in three games, you know, and they beat the Rockies, you know, over the course, you know, win 6 games out of 6 against those two teams, yeah, that's great. If they had done that and then lost 3 out of 4 to Tampa Bay, we would have sat here and said, okay, they beat the bad teams, but they can't beat the teams that are on their level or more talented than them at all, and we don't feel good about them coming out of the All-Star break. Now we're sitting here saying, okay, it's a good Rays team. And the Red Sox, in the key moments, and this is something that they have struggled with really since the start of the 2022 season, in the key moments, the Red Sox have been better than the Rays in this series. They've gotten better pitching. And you go back to Friday night, they're down in the 9th. They draw a walk, shout out Roman Anthony, and then they get the walk-off home run. In the key moment, they were better. Yesterday, right? Roman Anthony gets the double. Narvaez gets the RBI single. Toro helps blow up that squeeze play, get the out at home. Those two key moments of the game, the Red Sox are better. It's been a while since we've been able to say that the Red Sox are the better team in the key moments. And so I look forward to the rest of this Red Sox season and I say, all right, if this is the Red Sox team we're getting, that some of these young guys are figuring it out. You know, Rafaela, I know he's not going to hit 400 the rest of the year, but the guy that hit 283 in June, let's look at that. If Rafaela can be that guy consistently the rest of the year, then you're in great shape. And if Roman Anthony, maybe he's not going to be the guy that's hitting 350 in July, but can he be a guy that's hitting 280, 290 the rest of the year? Even 270 for a young guy for most of the rest of the year? Can Meyer continue to improve? Can Narvaez continue to play like an all-star? And I haven't even mentioned the return of Yoshida yet. I haven't even mentioned Jarren Duran yet. And one of those guys could be traded for some starting pitching. And obviously those deals will look a little bit different. I think if you trade Duran, you can probably trade Duran straight up to Atlanta or San Diego and get an actual number two starter. If it's Yoshida, especially since he just got back, you're either going to have to wait to the deadline or you're going to have to attach some prospects, right? And I think either way with Yoshida, you'll have to attach some prospects. And I think if you're Craig Breslow and you're the Red Sox, and I know a lot of deals, you have to wait till the deadline because some teams don't know if they're going to sell or buy, or they're holding out for the best possible offer. I would lean towards being aggressive now if I'm the Red Sox. And let's not forget, the Red Sox have already been aggressive this year, whether it was, you know, trading for Crochet, signing Bregman. Those were, especially the Crochet move, was aggressive. Bregman, they waited till spring training. Still signed him. But in this season, I mean, the Devers trade was an aggressive move. Now, it was an aggressive sell, right? Because all you're getting back to help your major league team this year is Jordan Hicks, and I don't even know if he'll really help you that much. And who knows? Look, I like Tool. I like Harrison. But those guys are lottery ticket. You know, we'll see if one of those guys can be a good MLB player. And if they both are, hat tip to Breslow. And did the Devers move help your clubhouse a little bit? Help a logjam in your lineup? Sure. But let's not forget, I mean, you still traded a great hitter. But they've already been aggressive. That was an aggressive move. It was an aggressive sell, but they've already been aggressive. But I think now is the time to aggressively buy. And I look at a couple moves in the last 7 years that stand out to me. One was the Red Sox in 2018. They traded for Steve Pierce, future World Series MVP, in late June. I remember Rob Bradford on Baseball Isn't Boring had an anniversary party for that a couple weeks ago. But they did that in late June. And you go back to a team I just mentioned, the San Diego Padres, a couple of years ago, traded for Luis Arraez in May because they needed help at the top of their lineup. I think that's the type of thing the Red Sox should be looking to do now. Because I think if you come out of this All-Star break and you can hold your own against the Cubs, Phillies, and Dodgers, and in that nine-game stretch, can you go on? Normally in a nine-game stretch, I'd want the Red Sox to go 6-3, right? That's the goal. Can you go 7-2? That's awesome. Can you go 5-4 against all those first-place teams? Then I'd sit there and say, okay, they won 9 in a row before the break. They play all these first-place teams. They go 5-4. And by that time, you're hovering right around the trade deadline. Your last game in that Dodger series is July 27th. But if you can go out before this stretch or early in this stretch and make an aggressive move, get another starter to go with Crochet, get a little bit of bullpen help. And I know their bullpen's been really good, but Greg Weissert, most appearances in the AL as of the last time he was out there. Chapman has pitched a lot and been awesome. But can you get another reinforcement there? Or if you get a starter, does that allow you to move Buehler or Houck to the bullpen? Right? We'll see. But can you get some reinforcements on that pitching staff, specifically in the rotation? Can you potentially add a legit bat at first base, a legit first baseman? No disrespect to Abraham Toro, who did make a great play yesterday, but can you add the name that's been floated out there is Josh Naylor, him or whoever it may be, a legit bat there? And I think if you can do that before this stretch or even early on, maybe then we can sit there and say, hey, that nine-game stretch coming out of the All-Star, yeah, they can go 6-3. And then we're sitting here feeling great about the Red Sox. They go 6-3 in that stretch, we're feeling great about them. If they go 3-6, we're going to sit here and say, well, okay, maybe they are the team from right after that Devers trade where they stumbled around, or that team from May that stumbled around, right? So it's a pivotal stretch. And then again, you get that slight reprieve against the Twins, and then it's right back to Houston, San Diego, Houston again. So I think, again, if I'm Craig Breslow, if I'm the Red Sox, I don't wait till the deadline. And some deals maybe you have to, I get it. But I don't want to wait till the deadline. I want to be aggressive now, because I want the reinforcements before this stretch. I don't want the reinforcements on July 29th against the Twins when you still have, half of this tough stretch, but half of it's done. And you've already played the Phillies. You've already played the Dodgers. You already played the Cubs. I want the reinforcements while you're playing the Cubs or while you're playing the Phillies. Like, that's what the Red Sox should be targeting here. And I think if you look at where they're at in their roster, you have some intriguing possibilities. You look at the lineup today, Bregman's back at third base. Rafael is back in center field. I don't know about you, and 617-779-7937, phone line and text line if you want to call and weigh in. I want Rafael and Abreu in the outfield every single day. Rafael is the best defensive outfielder in the major leagues. Defensive runs saved, second overall. Best center fielder at a minimum. Abreu won a gold glove last year. And he's your best power bat. I want those two guys in the outfield and in the lineup every single day. And I didn't even mention Rafael at the plate lately. I already have talked about it earlier. I want those guys every single day. So then it comes down to left field and DH. And you have three guys. You have Durant, you have Anthony, and you have Yoshida. And I'm going to talk to Nat Gordo of Play Tessie about this at 11. I want to get his take on it as well. But I think it comes down to those three guys for those two spots. And some days it might be Anthony in left field and Duran at DH. Some days it's going to be Yoshida at DH and Duran in left field. Whatever. And it's going to depend on matchups. But I also think that's where your potential trade could come from. And you're obviously not going to trade Anthony. So it comes down to Duran and Yoshida. And is it Duran straight up? Or maybe Duran and a mid-level prospect for a good starter? Or is it Yoshida and multiple prospects? What do the Red Sox want to do? And I think that, and there's also, look, I'm only trading one of those guys if it's for a good starter. I'm not trading Duran for the Devers trade part two, where it's guys that are going to help me in 2027. I'm not trading Yoshida and prospects for a middling starter or other future prospect. I'm just not doing that, right? Otherwise, I'm keeping those guys, and I'm just figuring out the rotation and figuring out the depth. Because one thing I will say, in fairness, Anthony's only been here 6 weeks. Rafael and Abreu only in their second full seasons. Chances are one of those guys might slow down or break down come September. And then you'll want to make sure you have either a Yoshida or a Duran there, and maybe both. So that's why, again, I'm only trading one of those guys if there is a return of a high-end starting pitcher coming back. Otherwise, I'm just keeping them. But I think that's where your potential trade comes from. So if I'm the Red Sox, I use one of those two guys, Yoshida or Duran, and potentially a prospect or two in addition to be aggressive and get that frontline start. I mean, we've heard for years about this farm system and coming into the year, right? Three prospects in the top 25, Anthony Meyer and Campbell, top 25 in the major leagues. You're not going to trade one of those three guys. But if you have this deep farm system that's so good, you can afford to trade one or two of them, potentially with someone on your big league roster like a Yoshida, like a Duran, and call up the Padres and get Michael King, who I know has, you know, been injured, working his way back, or get Dylan Cease, or call up the Braves and get Spencer Strider, or get Schwellenbach. Right? Like, to me, and I know some people have mentioned Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins. I'm a little more hesitant on that. Really enjoy the player, but, you know, coming off Tommy John, injured a couple years back, I'm just a little more hesitant there. But get a legit frontline star. You call the Diamondbacks. They have Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Now, hey, maybe Duran and a decent prospect get you Zach Gallen. I'll take that. A legit 1A to number 2 behind Garrett Crochet. And all those guys I've mentioned, right? Zach Gallen's pitched in a World Series. Dylan Cease has pitched in the playoffs. Michael King pitched in the playoffs. Right? Spencer Strider. I think he was on
Michael
that
Michael King, by the way, BC guy.
Yes. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob. Spencer Strider, he was on that Braves team that won the World Series a few years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he might have been a young guy there, but like has experience in the playoffs. I think Schwellenbach was not. I think he's too young. So most of those guys, though, again, and that is valuable. So I would be aggressive now. And speaking of Jacob, you notice earlier he got a little defensive about that Mets-Dodgers NLCS thing. If you haven't noticed, he's a Mets guy. And Jacob, before we go to break, Juan Soto not on the NL All-Star team, huh?
It's ridiculous.
Player of the month in June for the NL. And I feel like, too, a lot of times with the All-Star game, what you did the year before matters just as much as what you're doing that year. Because sometimes, like, you build your reputation, say, in 2024, and then in 2025, if you're still good, you get on the All-Star team. Soto was good last year. Yankees went to the World Series with him. And then, I don't know, like, played really well in June. I know he had a slow start, but interesting. Just wanted to give Jacob a little Mets minute there. Did that for you. But coming up, I actually want to talk about the All-Star game. Because the baseball All-Star game, first of all, one of my favorite sporting events of the year. It's the best All-Star game out there of any four major sports. I enjoy it. And the Red Sox have three All-Stars, and I think there's a real case they should have had five. And we're going to get to that. And today is also a very special All-Star Game anniversary, which we're going to talk about coming up next. If you're a Red Sox fan, you'll know what I'm talking about. But that'll be...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And
it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Right after this, back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, got Jacob Lassner producing. You might be wondering why I just played the sound of Pedro Martinez dominating the steroid-filled NL lineup in the 1999 All-Star Game. Couple reasons. That was 26 years ago today. 1999 All-Star Game at Fenway Park. One of the best All-Star Games ever. Those first two innings from Pedro, side note, might be the single most dominating two innings a pitcher has ever thrown. If you think about the context of it, like, again, steroid-filled lineup, Aguirre, Sosa, Bagwell's in that lineup, to Larry Walker, struck out 5 out of 6, like unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. Might be the best two innings thrown by a pitcher ever in any context. So 26 years ago today, Pedro did that. That was as I mentioned, awesome All-Star game. This is when Ted Williams came out on the field too and had that cool moment before the game. Need the All-Star game back in Boston, by the way. Like, I mean, if you tell me Fenway's America's most beloved ballpark, then how come Atlanta has had two All-Star games at two different stadiums in the last 25 years. Fenway's got zero.
Ridiculous.
Give me an All-Star game at Fenway. And I, by the way, this is a side note, Jacob. I absolutely love the Braves' new stadium. I went there a few years ago. It's phenomenal. But they've had two All-Star games in the last 25 years, two different stadiums.
I hate all things Braves.
And didn't they have two different All-Star games at the two different Yankee stadiums, too?
I'm sure they did.
And we've had and also, and again, nothing against Philly, San Diego, Detroit in 05. Like,
everything against Phily.
Great ballparks, you know, all that. Cool place to have All-Star games. I think they had one at PNC Park as well, which is an amazing place. But, I mean, come on, give me an All-Star game at Fenway. Give me an All-Star game at Wrigley Field. Come on. But I played that, too, for another reason. 26 years ago today, awesome moment. Bring the All-Star game back to Fenway Park. But you look at this AL All-Star team, and Jacob, how do you feel about the MLB All-Star Game and the festivities?
I love it. I am a huge fan of the Home Run Derby. Pete Alonso's my guy. And I think that the amount of stars that are in the Home Run Derby this season is really awesome. And I think that it's going to be a tight competition. You're going to see a lot of bombs, which, you know, everybody loves that.
By the way, 1999, elite Home Run Derby. Maguire, Sosa, Ken Griffey Jr., it was just awesome, right? But yeah, I love the baseball All-Star Game. My favorite All-Star Game, I think they get it right. They just play a baseball game. It's the best players in the world. I really, really enjoy it. And baseball, I know we've criticized baseball in the past sometimes about being too nostalgic, but they get that All-Star Game nostalgia right. I really enjoy that. But I bring that up because, again, Red Sox have three All-Stars, Crochet, Bregman, and Chapman. Crochet has already said he's not going to pitch. We'll see if Bregman plays at all. He's back in the lineup today. Obviously, he'll have an off day tomorrow with no games and just the Home Run Derby. So we'll see if he plays at all on Tuesday.
We'll see if Chapman pitches. I mean, he could pitch. He didn't pitch yesterday, obviously. We'll see if he pitches today and if he pitches again Tuesday. And the Red Sox do have those extra couple days off, right? You have the All-Star break Wednesday. They have no game Thursday. So we'll see. But I think the Red Sox, they have had three All-Stars. And shout out to Craig Breslow, by the way. I mean, we've criticized him, and I don't think he got a good enough return on that Devers trade. I maintain that. But he brought in all three of these All-Stars this offseason. But I think the Red Sox should have had five All-Stars. And just compare it. And this is not just me being a, you know, whiny Red Sox fan. Although I guess I maybe kind of am. I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan at least. Sometimes I can be whiny. But Carlos Narvaez to me, right? Alejandro Kirk made the All-Star team as a reserve catcher over him. Narvaez has almost double the amount of defensive runs saved. And I know he had those couple pass balls Friday night, so great time for me to be making this argument. But he's a much better defensive catcher than Kirk. And you look at the numbers. Narvaez, 273, 8 homers, 31 RBI, 786 OPS. Kirk, 306, so the average is much better, no doubt about that. But 7 homers, 45 RBIs, a little bit more, and 776 OPS. So Narvaez has one more homer, 10 points better OPS, and he's basically been twice as good defensively. Like, I think that guy should be an All-Star. I'm not saying Kirk's not deserving, but I think Narvaez is more deserving. And the other guy, and we've been talking about him quite a bit in this show, Sidán Rafaela, 271, 13 homers, 46 RBIs, best defensive center fielder in the game. All right, 788 OPS. Guy I look at, look, obviously Aaron Judge is going to be on the All-Star team. Not saying not. The guy I look at in the outfield on the All-Star team is Javi Baez, who's had a good season, right? He's hitting 272, 10 homers, 39 RBIs. So his average is essentially the same, 1 point better than Rafaela, and he's got fewer homers. He's got fewer RBIs. His OPS is 749, so it's almost 30 points less than Rafaela's, and Rafaela's been, again, the best defensive center fielder in the game. So Rafaela should have got in over Baez, and I think Narvaez should have got in over Alejandro Kirk. So Red Sox here again, they have three All-Stars. I think they should have five, and it's the best All-Star game out there, and we'll see if someone has to drop out of the All-Star game, if there's any last-minute changes. I think Rafaela should be the next man up if someone has to drop out. And his infield versatility helps with that as well. So you got three All-Stars. I think you should have five. I think Rafaela over Baez, and I think Narvaez over Kirk. And speaking of All-Stars, we've got Nat Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast here. He's going to join me in studio. Coming up next, we're going to talk, as you guessed, a lot of Red Sox, where they're at the All-Star break, the awesomeness of Crochet yesterday, and maybe the stretch coming up after the All-Star break as well. So coming up next, we got Nat Gordo here in studio.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.